News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We got a whole audience full of folks out there we call Right Side Ruffians. Love y'all, too, by the way. That's what makes this show great. I mean, that's the reason why we've had like 7,500 or 7,400 downloads of our podcast. We take segments of the show and put them on the website, rightsideradio.org, and people are downloading them like crazy right now. So it's just fun to be a part of something that's growing and people are grabbing hold of, because I think we're resonating right now. And I love the fact that we are covering North Alabama, but we got people that listen online from multiple states and they call in from all over the place. That's very cool. That's very cool. I'm very thankful, by the way. It's an honor to have this platform, and I just appreciate y'all being with us. So listen, we spent some time talking a few days ago. When was this? Was it yesterday? Copper, when did we talk about Facebook? That was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The days blend together. But nonetheless, yesterday we spent some time unpacking the fact that we had a whistleblower from Facebook. And, you know, I spent some time talking about her background, who she was, what we expected her to say. And then she came and testified to Congress. And as I was doing the show, too, I was starting to think, wait a minute. I think I even said it at one point. You know, it is a little odd, though. She did work in what we would consider to be the Facebook censorship office, if you get down to it. Is this what we hope it is? Like, we're going to come tell you. Now, she did tell some things that were very intriguing. Like, her name is, by the way, Rachel, I believe it is. Rachel Haugen. No, Frances Haugen. I'm sorry. Frances Haugen. Got a computer science degree. She's got a master's or MBA from Harvard. She spent time working for Pinterest, for Google, and now for Facebook. Been with Facebook several years, worked through the campaigns. Apparently, as I read closer, I find that the reason the genesis for her deciding to take the job with Facebook was because she had a friend who was harmed by conspiracy theories. Okay. So that's why she chose to go to an office at Facebook where she would be allowed to, in essence, censor content. And she did so during the campaign. You remember how that went, how misinformation, as she classifies it, was considered to be something that needed to be flagged. But she was disturbed because after the campaigns were over, the 2020 elections, that Facebook turned off the algorithm that allowed them to gather up said misinformation. Meaning that, if you get down to it, it was more about the campaign than it was about the misinformation, which apparently disturbs Ms. Haugen. Now, Ms. Haugen is out testifying, and she also brought with her any number of documents that were insider documents. And she presented those, one of which was a report that says that Facebook knows that it has research that proves that its own Instagram app strongly contributes to mental health issues for young teen girls, especially with eating disorders and suicide. That those two issues right there, suicide and eating disorders, are driven up by the use of Instagram by young teen girls. And they know that, but they will do nothing to limit the access or to manage the content. Where it gets a little scary, though, where I started to get a little leery, was when I recognized, as she was testifying to Congress late in my show or after the show yesterday, that what she was advocating for to Congress was that it's time for Congress to start taking action to limit the content that can be put on social media. Oh, wait a minute. This doesn't sound like where I thought it was going. No, shines a little off the apple with Ms. Frances Haugen now. Now suddenly, it sounds like maybe, just maybe, some people are even saying that she may be a plant. I don't know that for a fact, folks. I'm just telling you what some folks are saying in this case, which is not harmful for me to repeat, is that some are speculating that Facebook may have wanted her out there because Facebook would much rather have the government say limit content than to be constantly accused of being the ones who do limit the content. Facebook would much rather have, and Twitter would much rather have, and Amazon and Google would much rather have, the government say, okay, you're going to censor this, censor this, censor this, censor this. And they'll go, okay, it's the law now. Sorry, folks, not our fault. Big government told us we had to. And that's exactly what she's asking for, Frances Haugen is asking for. And that's exactly what some of the liberals who have been advocating for control of the internet and censorship of the public domain on the internet to do for quite some time. I'll play you a clip in a few minutes of Senator Markey literally saying some of those things. But folks, what we're looking at right now is that far from being some kind of a noble whistleblower, Francis Haugen may have just become their latest tool to try and exploit a scheme to get social media to control political discourse by working with government to say what can be limited, as opposed to being accused of doing it as a private entity. They're being told by government, and then, you know, sorry folks, shrug of the shoulders, gotta censor you. Too bad, you conservatives. You didn't line up with what the government said we could do. That's a scary thought when you think about it. I mean, right now, I'm going to go down. I got a great article here by Glenn Greenwald. Not even an article, really. It's almost like a research paper. Glenn Greenwald on, where is he on? Rumble? No, he's on. Anyway, we'll talk about him in a minute. We're about to get the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. Just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Folks, we are having a good day today. I mean, we have been packing it full. Copper's Corner was great. We've done a whole section on what it means to have your freedom of speech chilled, if you will, by virtue of the Attorney General of the United States coming out and saying he's going to be, you know, making it difficult for parents because he wants to investigate the possibilities that they're domestic terrorists because they've spoken out at school board meetings. And this is not overstating the facts. And right now what I'm doing is covering down on questions related to free speech again, if you will, social media. You know, some say, well, social media is a private platform. Is it? Yes, it is. Truthfully, I guess it is. They built it. But it has become the source of discourse for many people in the world. It's as if it's the electronic public square, if you will. And do they own the public square? Not really. Can they limit your use to it? I suppose they can. But at what point? I mean, when was it that the telephones had to become deregulated? It was when it was recognized that phones in people's houses were no longer a luxury. It was not something that you should be allowed to have. It's almost to the point of being mandated. If you are looking at utilities in the United States, you will notice, by the way, that if you build a street, they are required to run utilities. They are required. I mean, you pay for the utility, don't you? Certainly you do. But they're required to run it because the law says so. Because it is something that has become so endemic to life that you can't do without it. You're not going to have a house unless you decidedly choose to do so. You are not going to have a house without power. You're not going to have a house without potential phone access. Now, the world we're in right now says most people don't even have a landline anymore. But nonetheless, that was for years, that was the norm. You have to be able to dial 911. Even on your cell phone right now, I guarantee you, you've got the free opportunity to dial 911 even if you haven't paid your cell phone bill. All of this to say, social media wants you to believe they're just you know, good folks trying to make a buck. They built a neat thing for people to use if those people will follow the rules. Yeah, I get it, and that is true, but nonetheless, they have become the source of public discourse. I read some quotes yesterday on the air that talked about the fact that Facebook and Twitter alone account for more than 70% of how adults get their news. Just those two platforms. And that's an amazing amount of access and influence. And I'm looking right now at an article from, who's this from? Karen Gullow. Don't know her personally, but she writes for a medium called the Electronic Freedom Foundation. Interesting. But I found it in the... It reckons that this is almost like a surveillance state in a sense, and that when you have technology such as Facebook and others that are guiding content and are literally making it more difficult to post truth unless they've approved what the truth is, that it's as if people are censoring themselves, but yet truthfully what it is they know for a fact that the social media platforms have become the governance of the public square. It's not supposed to be that way. Now, they're going to try and say, we are just a platform. We don't control content, but we're allowed to under Section 230. Well, yeah, I got news. That Section 230 you're relying upon, was it the Section 230 of the Internet Decency Act, I believe it was? It was designed to keep porn out of the hands of kids. But what it did was it said you could to keep porn out of the hands of kids, basically you could curtail somebody trying to post that kind of thing on your platform. What it's become to be construed as is we can control content, period. But they are more now in the era of being publishers as opposed to just, you know, platforms. And when you're a publisher, it's different. When you're a publisher, you bear some liability. Okay, so maybe they don't want certain things on there. But what happens is too often they become the arbiter of what's all right. You know, they become the ones who are allowed to say what's right and what's wrong. They're allowed to be the ones who, even though 70% of the people in the nation choose to get their news from these sources, they will decide what's the news. So a great article right now by Glenn Greenwald that I was talking about earlier. And go to Substack, by the way. Substack is where Glenn Greenwald can be found. He's an independent reporter who does amazing work. I mean, incredibly detailed. Lots of internet links here in his story so you can reference other background materials. He doesn't just write something frivolous and throw it out there and see if it sticks. He's writing the kind of stuff that other people rely upon to write their own work. And he says literally in his piece right here, his title of it is, it was published just 18 hours, well, about 24 hours ago. The title of Glenn's piece here is Democrats and Media Do Not Want to Weaken Facebook. They just want to commandeer its power to censor. Now, that's a powerful statement. Copper, give me the high sign if you're ready with clip six. You good to go with clip six? All right. So listen, clip six is Senator Markey, one of the more liberal members of the U.S. Senate, basically saying with outside words what they shouldn't be saying out loud. Go ahead and play clip six.
Problem. The issue is not that the companies before us today are taking too many posts down. The issue is that they're leaving too many dangerous posts up. Problem.
Are you hearing that? He's literally saying, yeah, you know what the reality is? They're not just taking enough of them down. They need to take more of them down. They need to have more opportunity for censorship. And so this Frances Haugen shows up. She's a whistleblower. She gives a whole slew of documents to the Wall Street Journal, serious reporting, Wall Street Journal, right? And they run the documents and they indicate that you know she's concerned because of the way that Facebook runs its business and how it's always profit over people and they don't care about kids and all these things and I believe some of that's true, to be honest with you, I really do. But then it went a step further. You begin to realize that what she's advocating for is increasing the levels of acceptable censorship by social media platforms. And so when she became the flavor of the day, so to speak, when she became the star of the week, when she became the person that everybody was running to, you began to recognize, oh, wait a minute, what's she saying? And you got to remember some stuff here, all right? Things like there's a bipartisan consensus up there, and Glenn Greenwald points it out. The House Antitrust Committee has really been looking at whether or not to start, you know, taking action for antitrust laws against things like Amazon and Apple. And you remember that, truthfully, there has been some abuse. If you remember when Parler was the most downloaded internet platform 48 hours straight. I mean, it was just about to kick off, and bam, Google and Amazon got together and took it off the internet, period. And Parler, where's Parler now? They almost collapsed, it seems. Or Google suppresses Rumble videos. Oh, yeah. Facebook and Twitter have both been caught suppressing the reporting on things about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Yeah. Even taking down the New York Post. The New York Post, a respectable reporting establishment, had information on Hunter Biden before the 2020 election, and it was suppressed by Facebook and Twitter. They could not get the story out to the masses who rely upon Facebook and Twitter for their news. Okay. So that being said, now we got Frances Haugen. She's going to give us a straight skinny. She's out there telling us what's what. She's telling us all the things we need to know. But what she's really asking for is she's asking for the opportunity, along with, I didn't know this, there's a longtime Obama operative, Bill Burton, who's working with her, I believe, she's made it explicitly clear that what she believes should happen is it should be allowed to have more censorship of what she calls hate, violence, and misinformation. Hate is a lot of times easy to see, except they misconstrue it too often. Violence, certainly you can see violence. And then misinformation, well, if you think about it, the Hunter Biden laptop was considered to be misinformation. What about the fact that the Russia collusion story was allowed to continue? That was truly misinformation, but it was touted as real. How about the Brett Kavanaugh debacle? That was considered real misinformation, but they ran with it, didn't they? And so she's up there gushing right now about needing a censorship tech unit, as she testified on Tuesday, quote, calling for the regulation of the technology and business model that amplifies hate, and she's not shy about comparing Facebook to tobacco. Yeah, going to that old enemy of the state, tobacco, and causing this to be considered like that. Well, she's craving censorship, and she's asking for it, folks. So what I'm telling you is this. As you watch the news, as you read Facebook and Twitter, look at it with a sideways glance and decide for yourself, am I really seeing a whistleblower? Or am I seeing a plant? Am I seeing somebody that Facebook let out the door with some papers so that she could get up there and help stoke the fires for government-sponsored censorship so they don't have to be on the hotspot anymore? There was a Pew survey, according to Glenn Greenwald, a Pew survey back in August, showing that Democrats now overwhelmingly support internet censorship, not only by tech giants, but also by the government, which their party now controls. They want to call it restricting misinformation. And more than three-quarters of Democrats, according to the Pew survey, want tech companies to do, quote, restriction of false info online, even if it limits freedom of information. Oh, yay. All right, folks, listen, this goes on and on, all right? And we're gonna unpack it a little bit more before we get to the top of the hour. You need to know this is happening right now. And if you're one of those 70% of the nation, one of those 70% of the nation that literally believes that news coming from Facebook and Twitter is your primary source, just understand this. You're not doing the kind of research you need to do because they are controlling the flow. Like that old song by John Mayer, I quote it all the time. He says, when they own the information, they can bend it all they want. And they do. And they do. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're taking a short break right now. We're going to come back, and we're going to keep on with the issue of Facebook, social media, government censorship. I mean, this whole day has been about freedom of speech, it seems like. We'll take some calls. We want to call when you get back, 866-494-9866. At the top of the hour, we got a friend, Representative Andrew Sorrell, calling in. He's running for state auditor. We're going to talk to him about mask mandates because he has a bill that addresses mask mandates, and we'll see where that goes. Because there's news out of Florida as of yesterday that deals with whether states can affect mask mandates. I'll tell you more about that later. Phil Williams, we'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you real quickly about my friends at eTaxBreaks.com. What a cool job. 23 years of experience just having a job that finds people money. Can you imagine that? Just finding folks money. Just finding it. It's basically they look at the way you run your business, and if you've made some good common sense decisions like where you place your business, who you hire, did you keep your business open during the pandemic, all these things, you have no idea what else. There's like 3,000 programs out there that qualify businesses for loans, grants, tax breaks, tax incentives, and all of these add up to free money you didn't know you already qualified for. They find it. They only get paid if they find you money. And like the month of July alone, they found over $7 million in found money for their clients. That's cool. Just check them out. They got a special website just for Right Side listeners. That's etaxbreaks.com/rightside. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. I think my friend Jeff from Indiana hung on the phone during the break. Go ahead and drag him on in here on line two. Jeff from Indiana, brother Phil Williams here. How are you, man?
Doing good, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind today, buddy?
You seem to be under the delusion that we have constitutional rights. we don't have those now that Joe Biden's basically the emperor, because he controls the enforcement of all laws, and there's, you know, if he chooses not to enforce them, what are you going to do?
Well, you know,
it's just like the southern border. It's just like the prosecutor in Illinois there in Chicago. You know, they got these, even liberal Lori Lightfoot is going against her now because she won't prosecute people who's killing people.
No, you're right.
So laws don't matter. There is no laws right now. The only laws that count is the ones Joe Biden says that he will enforce, and he's not going to enforce any of your constitutional rights right now.
My brother, don't go all negative on me. I mean, come on. There's hope for the world. Luckily the Constitution has been around longer than Joe Biden has, but not by much.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's just a piece of paper. You know, if the Constitution doesn't matter a bit unless we have a government that's, you know, that's going to back it up.
Well, I'll tell you what, too, Jeff.
They're not backing it up.
I agree with that. That's frustrating when you watch. I mean, like, we're a nation without borders. We're watching constitutional liberties get stepped on left and right. But where they miss the boat is the idea that we're going to sit quietly and let it happen. And I think you're starting to see, like, for instance, this thing that happened in the last 24 hours with the Attorney General Merrick Garland coming out and just basically saying they're going to start investigating parents who are speaking out at school board meetings. That's just wrong. But what they're seeing is an amazing amount of backlash. And so my hope is that, you know, the sense that we have that Biden doesn't enforce the laws and he enforces the ones he likes and does not enforce the ones he doesn't like, that we're going to see that starting to get into overreach category, and the courts are going to speak up.
Yeah, but what can the courts do? I mean, he defied court orders already and everything. It doesn't really matter. Basically, what it boils down to is we're living in a tyrannical government right now, and people need to decide how much tyranny they're willing to take.
Well, and that's a great point. People need to decide. Let's take it off of we can't necessarily control government, but we can sure speak to it. And people need to decide what's your threshold of pain, folks. And Jeff's got a great point. Jeff, thanks for the call, buddy. You be safe on the road, man. I know you're driving a lot. So Jeff from Indiana often calls in and usually has really good content like that one. Hey, listen, let me wrap up this thing with Facebook, all right? So here's the thing. I'm going to come back to this for a few more minutes before we hit the top of the hour. So what you've got to consider is that, all right, not everything that Francis Haugen, the whistleblower on Facebook, said, not everything is something that I would be concerned or disagree with. One of the things she did point out is that Facebook has its own internal research that they were suppressing that literally shows that some of their apps and some of their means and algorithms are actually harmful to people. Classic point was Instagram, by virtue of an internal study, was shown, and Facebook knew that it was harmful to young teen girls. And yet they chose to do nothing about it because, in her words, they put profit over people every single time. Now, I understand that businesses are in the business of making money. They're not always there for purely philanthropic means. But at what point, folks, when you're the world dominant Facebook and you've got multi billions of dollars in annual sales, when do you start recognizing your responsibilities to the broader good? And they have literally decided to suppress information that showed that parts of what they were doing had true potential for harm to, you know, groups like teen girls and otherwise. Story out right now, just came out on Fox a little while ago. I'm looking at it on Fox Business, actually. I didn't even bother printing this one out because it's so fresh. Just came out just in the last 1 hour, and it literally says that as a result, even though Facebook has not provided comment to Fox since the whistleblower's statements before Congress, they did come out with something separate. They are allegedly starting to do what they call, quote-unquote, reputational reviews. reputational reviews on their own products like Instagram and others to see whether or not there is a means by which they can address some of the things being said about them. Things like Instagram hurting kids. And when they're suppressing information that they've had in their hands and they know it's harmful and they do it anyway, that's a problem. I do not mind that being addressed. I think it should be. If you've got information that shows your product harms people, then it's called negligence, or for that matter, recklessness, if you choose to go forward anyway, knowing that there was a potential for harm. Lawyer Phil talking right there. All right, folks, listen. Right Side Radio, coming back after the top of the hour, we got State Representative Andrew Sorrell going to join us, talk about mask mandates, and we'll see how that unpacks. Some news coming out of Florida on that just in the last 24 hours. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.